The first of our readings today comes from Matthew's Gospel, and you can find them on page 994 of your Bibles, starting at verse 36. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now we move to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. That's on page 1220, 1220. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, so for visitors, we've been working through this letter in the New Testament called 1 Peter. That's because the guy who wrote it was called Peter. And he wrote it to a selection of churches kind of scattered around what is modern day Turkey. Thousands of years old, these words. And yet we've been finding this term as we've worked through them together. There is so much for us today. So let me pray that that can be the case. Wherever we're at on our journey or our understanding of Christian things, let me pray that these words can speak to us today. Let's pray. Father, be with us as we consider these words today. But Father, this week has been, you know, it's held all kinds of things for each of us gathered here. The week ahead of us will hold all kinds of surprises, no doubt as well. And we pray that these words would be steadying for us and would help us to see the bigger picture in which our day-to-day lives fit. And we pray above all that you would teach us more about yourself. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we're so pleased to have you all here. I mean, it's nice for me to personally be able to say thank you for those who are supporting us for Esther's baptism as well. She is such a delight, little Esther. I think as you have more kids, you become softer as you go on. And that's definitely been our experience with little Esther. But as you go on as well, car journeys also become more stressful. So this has definitely been something. And I think anyone with young kids, you know how it is within a short period of time, the question that inevitably gets asked, are we nearly there yet? In fact, a recent study showed that within the first 2 minutes of any journey, 90% of all children will ask that question. That was completely made up, by the way. But it's believable, isn't it? Are we nearly there yet? I was talking to a friend last week called Rhys, who's from New Zealand, and he's back to see his family in New Zealand. And since they last went back to New Zealand, they've had their first child. So I said, how are you feeling about the journey? And he's like, well, we did do a journey to Sweden recently, so that's good practice. I was like, how long was that? 3 hours. How long's the flight to New Zealand? And at which point he changed the subject. But journeys with kids, are we? They want to know where you're going. And they really want to know, are we nearly there when you're on a journey with kids? So let me ask a related question, perhaps a bit more personal, about your life. Where is your life going? Like, I suppose on a big picture scale, where is life heading? Imagine your kid asks you that question. Sometimes children have a way of asking us the awkward big life questions that as parents we feel totally ill-equipped to answer. There's the kind of what's for tea today, we can manage that one. But then there's the kind of what's life all about, mum and dad? And we feel like we're floundering. Well, what about that question? Where is your life ultimately heading? Well, as I mentioned, we've been working through this letter, 1 Peter. The first people who kind of opened this letter and read it, as it were having a really tough time. They were Christians. They were probably only recently Christians. Many of them grew up in completely non-Christian backgrounds. And they had heard about Jesus. They'd been persuaded by him, come to trust in him, and had their lives positively changed and transformed by him. They're living for him now. But that, in many ways, has been wonderful. But in lots of other ways, that's made life way more complicated for them, particularly as they live in a kind of non-Christian environment. And so Peter's writing to them. He's saying, look, I want you to know what you've trusted about Jesus. It really is true. And I just want to encourage you. It's tough. Just keep on going. So if we're a Christian here and we're just finding it tough, this letter ministers to us when we're finding things tough. But if we're not yet a Christian, then it's written to people who didn't used to be Christians and have been persuaded by Jesus. So I think it has something to say for to all of us. And today, Peter's got a really clear message for us all. And it's this: know where life is heading. Okay, if you want to keep going, you've got to know where life is heading. So just imagine that the world, this universe, is like a massive bus, okay? And we are all sitting on the bus together, everyone in the whole world. We're on this massive bus, and God is driving the bus, and there is a destination. There is an end of the line for this bus that we're all on. It's going to stop at some point, and we will have arrived. That's what Peter says in our first sentence. You see, he says, verse 7, the end of all things is near. So if you ask Peter, are we nearly there yet? The answer is yes. Yes, we are nearly there. So what is this final destination? Well, if you got your Bibles open, just flick back a few pages, because Peter's already written about this in this letter. So just have a look at chapter 1. This is back a couple of pages from verse 3. And he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Jump down to verse 7, a few sentences. And it says right at the end, that these things may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So the end is coming. There's a great inheritance. It comes when Jesus is revealed. And then just flick over to chapter 4. This is just before the passage we had read, back on page 1220. And have a look at verse 5 with me. It's talking about All of us. They will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Okay, so that gives us a few of the kind of pieces of the puzzle piece. Where are we? Where is this great bus of the universe? What is the final stop? Well, the final stop is a day when Jesus returns. That's the teaching of the Bible, the day when Jesus returns. And in the story that the Bible gives us, this is a day of completion. Okay, now, what do I mean by that? It's a day when God's plan for our world, it's a plan of salvation, is completed. Now, we can track the progress of this plan through history. It's a wonderful thing. So phase one of this plan of salvation, promise. And throughout the Old Testament, there are promises and promises and promises that one day God is going to send us a savior. Phase one, promise. You can read all about it in your Bibles, okay, in the Old Testament. It's right there for you to look at. Phase two, fulfillment. All those promises come true. Jesus arrives exactly as the Old Testament prophets said that he would. In fact, in the place and at the time, under the circumstances that had been predicted. And Jesus does exactly what God had promised. He fulfills God's plan of salvation. It's counterintuitive. It involves him dying on a cross where he bears all of our sin. That's the mess that we've made of the world. Instead of kind of striking us down, which is what we deserve, God comes in the person of Jesus and faces that himself. He is struck down, if you like, on the cross. And then he rises from the dead. It's a way of proving that salvation has been completed. And that happened in time, space, history. People saw him. There were witnesses. And that is, if you like, salvation complete. So phase one, promise. Phase two, fulfillment. Phase three is invitation. Okay, and this is where, look, Jesus has done it now. All you have to do is trust in him. And you can be part of this salvation, a restored relationship with God and an eternal inheritance because of what Jesus did for you. Okay, and phase three is the phase that we're currently living in, invitation. In the Bible's terms, it's called the days of the Holy Spirit, as God himself empowers his people to take this good news to the ends of the earth. And if you look back over the last 2,000 years, broadly speaking, this is exactly what's happened. There's more and more people across the world have heard about Jesus, and the church, that's people who know and trust Jesus, has grown and grown and grown. So these days of invitation, now that's the salvation plan so far. And there is one more stage. If you think of a bus, the final stop on the line, that's when Jesus returns. Because if you think about it, that plan of salvation, it isn't complete until evil is completely eradicated and life with God is completely restored. Now, clearly, your week that you've just had proves that hasn't happened yet. Okay, there's all kinds of evil that we continue to live with, all kinds of ways that life with God hasn't been restored. Those who trust in Jesus, we get a real taster of that, but it is very much incomplete. And so these are days of invitation, when more and more people can hear about Jesus, turn to him. But a day will come of completion when Jesus comes again. So much has been done, but we're still waiting. And yet Peter says, the end of all things is near. So that's the first point. Know where life is heading. So if you're a Christian, it's absolutely vital that you know where life is heading. And according to the Bible, that is a day when each of us inevitably and unavoidably are heading to a day when we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the final stop of the line of this great bus of the universe that all of us are on. Now, it'd be a perfectly reasonable question to ask. Well, okay, interesting to know what the Bible says about that, but how can we know that's actually what's happening in this bus of the universe that we're on? How can we know that's actually happening? Well, we're in a happy position here because, again, if you think of the bus, you've got all the stops that you've already gone through. Okay, so you can look back and you can look at the Old Testament, all the promises that were made, all the ways they were fulfilled perfectly in Jesus. You can look back to the life of Jesus and you can see how, yeah, he actually died on a cross, as the prophets had said. You can look into the evidence for his resurrection and see how God fulfilled the most unlikely thing in him coming back to life again. In other words, again, think about the bus. It has been on schedule for every stop so far. And therefore, just this final stop becomes so much more likely. And you'll have noticed that the whole plan centers around Jesus. Jesus repeatedly spoke about his return. Everything else has happened to plan. We can have confidence about the final stop as well. So know where life is heading. That's the first point that Peter has for us. Now, just to say, before we move on to the rest of the passage, obviously we can't avoid being on the bus, okay, of a universe. We're here, whether we like, we've been born into the world, here we all are. All of us are on the bus, so to speak. But there is something we can avoid. We can avoid thinking about where the bus is heading. Obviously, it's a big enough bus that you can just get on and enjoy life in the bus without thinking at all about ultimately where it's going. Now, I guess the encouragement here is don't do that. Okay, because obviously it makes a big difference if the end of the story is all of us standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, obviously, if that's actually the end of the story, we need to know about that because that's going to make a big difference to how we go about life on the bus, so to speak. And the good news is that we don't need to be in the dark about that. The Bible talks about Jesus coming into the world as a light so that we don't have to be in the dark about where the bus is going anymore. And as I said, the days before Jesus returns are days of invitation and days of grace. Okay, so this salvation, the Bible says it's not something you have to achieve. It's something that you receive. Jesus has done it all for you. All you have to do is say, what a relief. Yes, please. I'd like to follow Jesus as my Savior and Lord and have confidence about that final stop. So maybe for some of us, an encouragement for us to re-engage with Jesus. Maybe take one of these little gospel accounts, Good News for Henry. Have a read through and see what you think about Jesus. So that's the first point. Okay, know where life is heading. Some of us are thinking, oh my goodness, he's only covered 5 words so far. How long is this going to go on? Don't worry, the next point is much shorter. And it's this, let the destination shape the journey. Know where life is heading, and then let the destination shape the journey. So can you see how it goes on? Verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, in other words, in light of that, be alert and sober-minded so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply. And he goes on. Now, obviously, knowing where life is heading is a game changer for life here and now. To put it this way, if Jesus is the center of God's plans for the world, then it makes a lot of sense for him to be the center of our lives as well. So what are the implications then of the end of the line, so to speak, the end of all things being near? Well, it's right there. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply. It's talking about two sets of relationships. Relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, and relationship with each other. Okay, let's think about the first one. So, your Father in heaven, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. Now, the heart of this big plan of salvation is a restored relationship with God. Okay, our sin, that's just turning our backs on God, means that that relationship has been fractured, but what Jesus enables is for us to reconnect with God. It's a relationship that starts now and goes on into this perfect inheritance that will come when Jesus returns. Now, if the heart of salvation is a restored relationship with God, then when you have put your trust in Jesus, it makes a lot of sense to prioritize that relationship. So when Christians talk about prayer, it's something that we don't, it's not that we have to pray, it's that we get to pray. It's that we get to enjoy this relationship with a heavenly Father, a God who is not just an abstract possibility anymore, but is actually a Father in heaven who we know as we've trusted in Jesus. We get to pray, but we also need to pray. Because whilst we live in this world, as Peter's been telling us, we're strangers and exiles. We feel like we don't really fit in if you're a Christian. You know, it's like everyone else is going from this way. And as a Christian, you're saying, well, now I'm trying to go this way. And it's hard. And so we have a heavenly Father we get to speak with. And goodness me, we need to as well. Strength to live for Jesus. Strength to share my hope with those who don't yet have that themselves. And so Peter says, look, be alert and sober-minded so that you can pray. I wonder for those of us who are following Jesus, what does that look like for you? How do you need to be alert and sober-minded so that you can pray? So that's the first way that the destination shapes the journey. Okay, we are heading towards perfect life with our Heavenly Father. So spend time with him right now in prayer. But we don't just have a Father in heaven when you trust in Jesus. You're also given a new family on earth. So one of the wonderful things that we've seen in 1 Peter is when you trust in Jesus, it's not just like you've kind of given this kind of personal connection with God. You're also brought into a whole new people. Who have trusted in Jesus, you've got Heavenly Father, you've got new brothers and sisters as well, who also trust in him. As we just said in the baptism service, we are children of the same Heavenly Father. And, you know, when you baptize a child, you're not just saying, oh, you know, here's some water to clean away your sin. We're saying, here is a whole new community who are going to help shape you and grow you to know about Jesus. It's new family. And it's a forever family. This is the family who are going to enjoy this eternal inheritance with Jesus forever. And therefore, invest in these relationships now. Love each other deeply, as it says here. And he gives some really concrete ways that he wants us to express this love for each other. So he starts off by saying, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. In other words, it's a love that forgives. Because when you have a deep love for someone, even when they screw you over, or they get something wrong, or, you know, they hurt you, the kind of love that Jesus puts in our hearts can reach out in forgiveness, can cover over those sins. And we, our love can cover over other people's sins because we know the love of one who covered over all of our sins. So it's a love that forgives. It's a love that welcomes. I love verse 9. It's so realistic. Offer hospitality to each other without grumbling. Hospitality is all about welcoming people in. Literally, the word literally means love of the stranger. But I love that. Welcoming people in, because we have experienced one who welcomed us in to his family. Not because we were deserving or particularly good company, but because he loved us, and by grace, he welcomes us in. And so Christians who've experienced that now just open up their homes. It's the most natural thing in the world to welcome people in. I love to pray when people move house. Sometimes I go and visit people. I love to pray with people that their home would be a place of refuge for others. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So a love that welcomes, and an open home flows from an open heart without grumbling. So we do it willingly. It's a love that forgives. It's a love that welcomes. It's a love that serves. Do you see that verse 10? Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I absolutely love this idea. So, okay, here we all are. And all of us are very needy. Right. We all have, there's loads of stuff going on, loads of difficulties we're struggling with. We all have different needs. Now, we've got a Heavenly Father. How does he choose to meet those needs? Does he just kind of zap them down for us straight away, just so that we're just personally, completely self-contained, and all our needs are met by that? No. How does he meet our needs? He gifts our brothers and sisters in different ways so that they can serve us and so that we can serve them. Now, isn't that amazing? Because that doesn't just meet our needs. That fosters a wonderful interdependence as well. Right, so imagine that I am in particular need of encouragement. It's just been one of those weeks, right? And I come in and then, you know, Jill over there has just been given by God this amazing gift of encouragement. Just every time she opens her mouth, it kind of lifts your spirit. That is a gift. And I come to church and Jill gets to use that gift on me. So I go away feeling encouraged because of the gift that God gave Jill that she has now used on me. Isn't that great? Or, you know, maybe I've just had a new baby and life is totally frenetic. And so church family get all the people with gift of hospitality and catering, and they get together and they drop meals off every night. And oh my goodness me, I have all these needs, and God has gifted people to then meet those needs. Isn't that amazing? Or I'm a new Christian and I've only just started following Jesus, and there's so much stuff I don't really understand or don't really get, but God has gifted John over there with an amazing gift of teaching. And John comes over for a drink after work and we look at the Bible together. And because of John's gift of teaching, I can now grow in my faith. And I get a good relationship and connection as part of that as well. And we can go on and on and on. So Jesus, isn't that amazing? God gives us gifts so that we can meet the needs of other people. And so Peter says, look, the end of things is near. So don't hoard your gifts. Don't neglect your gifts. Use your gifts to serve one another. And those gifts come in many forms. So verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do it speaking the very words of God. So there are kind of speaking gifts, maybe those who encourage or teach or have wisdom that they can share or are really good with the kids or whatever. So if you've got speaking gifts, use your words. But there are action gifts as well. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, whether that's cooking or driving people to and fro or doing administration or just having a gift of generosity or being good at DIY or IT, or the list goes on and on and on. Practical service, and it's not always easy, but God is invested in this strength, in this gift, and so he's going to strengthen you to do it. And God is right at the center of this entire community. He's the one who gives the gifts. He's the one who strengthens us to use the gifts. And he's the one who receives the glory at the end. To him be the glory and the power forever. By the way, for those of us with kids, this is a great perspective for us to teach our kids. It's not just that you're talented, it's that you're gifted. Okay, what you're good at is a gift from God, not to hoard for yourself, but to use to bless and serve and enrich others. And if you can teach your kids that, do you know, it does two things. It gives them security. They don't have to be good at everything. Okay, there are some things they're not going to be good at, but there are other things that God has really, you know, gifted them in. It gives them security, but it also gives them a kind of humble, loving service of others as well. This has been given to you that you might give back. Amazing, isn't it? So this is the invitation, by the way. When Jesus says, look, come to me, I've got salvation for you. It's not just, I'm going to zap you to heaven when you die. It says, look, we've got a whole work of creating a whole new community here, and you're invited in. And so let the destination shape the journey. Okay, a father in heaven, learn to speak to him in prayer, family on earth as well. Love each other deeply. So just to wrap up, are we nearly there yet? The sermon is nearly finished, by the way, but that's not what I mean. Are we nearly there yet? Yes, says Peter. Promise, fulfillment, invitation. There's only one more step along the line, and that's that Jesus will return. All of us will stand and give an account to him. And so know where life is heading and let the destination shape the journey. So just a couple of thoughts, just as we close, for, I don't know, perhaps different groups of us who might be here today. Okay, some of us are just feeling a bit directionless. Okay, and maybe we're not yet a follower of Jesus, and we do just feel like, actually, when we stop and think about it, we don't really know where life is heading. We haven't really thought about that. And, you know, that is especially difficult when life is tough. And we think, I kind of need to know what life is about when life is difficult, because when it's easy, I just kind of don't engage, I just press on. But, you know, we have priorities, lots of things that we're doing and we're enjoying and they're good. But there's no ultimate foundation to why we do those things. And if that's you, I'll just encourage you. Okay, this bus of the universe does have a destination. That's good news. We can know where life is heading. We can know what it's all about. And the key is Jesus. So get to know him. Go back to him and discover more of him. For those who are feeling directions. Some of us, to be honest, we're just distracted, right? So we're Christians, we're followers of Jesus. But the reality is, the things that are here and now, we've got totally preoccupied with life inside the bus. And we've just lost sight of where the bus is heading. And the encouragement here is the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind. Okay, Jesus is at the center of God's plans for the universe. So friends, just an encouragement. If this is you, if you have become distracted, just put Jesus back at the center of your life as well. And there'll be other brothers and sisters, you're just discouraged. Okay, it's been a tough week. It's been a tough month. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough decade. And we're just saying, you know, I'm trying to follow Jesus, but it's tough. And Peter says, look, the end of all things is near. And that's such good news, because that means restoration. You're almost home. So keep sticking with Jesus. He's at the center of the plan, and the plan will be fulfilled in him. Are we nearly there yet? Yes, we are. Let's pray as we close. Let's pray, Father, for each of us. And Lord, if we're sitting here and the truth is we are feeling a bit directionless, let's pray so much that you might show the plan that you have for our world, revealed in Jesus, good plan. You invite us now to be part of that by your grace. And pray, Father, for those who are feeling just distracted. There's a million other things going on. And pray that you'd help us to put Jesus back at the center where he belongs, to let the destination shape our journey, that we might enjoy time in prayer with you. Make that a priority. Love deeply the family that you've put us in. And for those who are just discouraged, Lord, pray so much that you'd minister your grace and your mercy and your kindness, and you would bring our brothers and sisters encouragement today. And for all of us, just help us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of all of these things. In Jesus' name. Amen.